Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the RTC Weekly Download. Well, this week we're going to feature some of the programs we are introducing to the Radio Theater Channel on the weekends. Saturdays brings you Life with Luigi. Premiering September 21st, 1948, we listen as Luigi tries to be an American, while being taunted by his landlord, Pasquale, who is constantly trying to marry off his daughter, Rosa, to Luigi. Be listening as Luigi writes his weekly letter to Mamma Mia back in Italy. Now it's back to September 21st, 1948, and the statue of George Washington on Life with Luigi.
Hit the Jackpot, presented by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers, will be heard at a new time starting tonight, just one half hour from now. Be sure to hear Hit the Jackpot immediately following this broadcast.
Oh, Maria, Maria, quando son nato perso per te.
As every American school child knows,
on October 12, 1492, an Italian explorer, Christopher Columbus, discovered America.
On September 27, 1947, a young Italian immigrant, Luigi Basco, rediscovered America.
Christopher Columbus arrived with three vessels.
Luigi Basco arrived with $3.
When Christopher Columbus landed in America, he said, I name thee San Salvador.
When Luigi Basco landed in New York, he said,
please, give me a ticket to Chicago.
And so we invite you to Chicago's Little Italy for a new comedy, Life with Luigi, the story of an immigrant created by Cy Howard and starring J. Carroll Nash. From America, Christopher Columbus described his adventures to Queen Isabella in Spain. From Chicago, Luigi Basco describes his adventures to Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, I make a promise to write you, so I write. In the United States, when fella keep promise to write, is called promissory note. In 6 months since I've been in America, my writing is already so good, words don't even have Italian accent. I have store here in Chicago, just like two other businessmen, Marshall and Field. They got same kind of store, only better location. Mamma Mia, how you like my new business stationery? See, on top it say, Luigi Basco, founder and prop. Prop is short for long word, I don't know. Also, my line business, old and the young antiques. Everybody here is crazy for old things. Old furniture, old lamps, all the chairs. Also, is lots of people crazy about old granddad. Must be a fine man. Our countryman, Pasquale, who bring me to this country and rent me store, has nice place next door. It's called Pasquale's Spaghetti Palace. Sometimes at night, when the breeze from Lake Michigan is just right, then the smell from Pasquale's palace is reminding me of home, and I'm much lonesome for you. But in the morning when I wake up, I'm so pleasant to be an American. But as Uncle Pietro always say, is no rose without a little thorn. And in this case, is a very big thorn. Now I know why Pasquale bring me here. He wants I should marry his daughter Rosa. You remember when Rosa was a nice little girl? Mamma mia, something has happened. You know the bull Uncle Pietro has? Well, go in the pasture, look at the bull, take off the horns, that's Rosa. But outside Rosa, America is fine, and there's plenty business here. It's so good that I hire me a little 12-year-old bambino who lives with me, Jimmy O'Connor. He dusts the furniture, he washes the windows, he sweeps out the store. This in America is called general manager. To show you how good business is, only this morning he said to me,
Mr. Luigi, let's face it, we're in a hole.
But that's fine. Then why are you upset, Jimmy?
What's fine about it?
In America, when things is good, then you in a groove, huh?
Yeah.
Hole is a bigger groove, so everything's fine.
But boss, business is terrible. Take a look at the books. That tells the story.
Okay. Here is one page of money going out.
Here's another page, money coming in.
That's the trouble, Jimmy. Money coming in and money going out. If only she could stand still, we could grab her. How much we got in the cash box?
$2.87.
How much I owe Pasquale for rent?
$40.
Isn't no come out even. That's a too bad for Pasquale.
It's too bad for you, because if you don't pay him the rent, he's got a right to kick you out.
Not in America. This is free country. There's a free speech, there's a free press.
But not free rent. You gotta pay him.
Oh, Jimmy, I work so hard for this place. I have all my beautiful statues. What I do? What I do?
I got a suggestion, but I don't think you like it.
Anything, Jimmy. You're a smart American boy. Anything. I'm a drowning. I'm a grabbing at straws. I'm a drowning.
Okay. Mary Rosa.
Okay, I drown.
But, Mr. Luigi, after all, as man to man, a fella's gotta get married sometime.
If Rosa is the last woman on the face of the earth, then I'd rather marry the face of the earth.
Okay, Mr. Luigi. I've got another suggestion.
Anything, Jimmy. I listen to anything.
Okay. Sell one of your statues.
Sure I sell. Why do you think I'm in business?
Well, that's what you say, but as soon as somebody comes in to buy something, you discourage them.
I don't discourage. I only say not to for sale.
Last week we could have sold that one to General Grant.
I never sell a president of the United States.
You won't even sell Robert E. Lee.
He's a nice man, Mr. Lee. Poor fella picked the wrong side, so why I sell him?
You know, you got 18 Abraham Lincolns.
19. I buy another one yesterday.
Mr. Luigi, I know how we can clear up all our debts and pay the rent.
How?
Just sell one statue. George Washington.
George Washington? Founder and prop of our country, I never sell him.
If you don't sell something, Mr. Luigi, you...
Never sell this statue of a Washington. I bring him with me from old country. His only copy of Horace Greeley's statue made in 1833 in Florence, Italy.
If it's that good, put him in the window. It'll attract customers.
Okay, Jimmy. Make you feel better, I put Washington in the window. Okay, George. Up you go in the window. Don't worry, George. I put you way in the back. They never see you. Jimmy, you just come from school. You must be hungry. You go back in the kitchen. Eat a little lunch.
Okay, boss.
He's a nice boy, Mr. Washington. Only he don't understand us. Don't worry. I don't sell you. When Jimmy go back to school, I take you out of the window. I put in Coolidge.
Pardon me. Are you the proprietor?
I'm Luigi Basco, founder and prop. What can I do for you, lady?
I'm interested in that statue.
What statue?
The one you have in your window.
Why you want this statue?
Well, I noticed it when I came by your shop yesterday. It's a rare statue.
You really like him, huh?
I certainly do.
You're crazy about him, huh?
Yes.
Is not for sale.
But it's in your window.
Suppose you in my window. You for sale?
Oh, but that's...
George Washington crossed the Delaware 1776. But the Luigi's a window? Never.
Okay, Mr. Luigi. Oh, you got a customer. That's good.
The lady don't want to buy anything. Goodbye, lady.
Oh, but I did want to.
Never mind the goodbye, lady.
What's going on here?
Well, I'm a representative of the Americana Society, and we're having an auction. And I was just trying to buy that statue of George Washington.
Great.
Shut up, Jimmy. Go back and have a dessert.
I'll give you $100 for it.
So?
You fired Jimmy.
I quit.
Oh, no, you don't. I quit.
You can't quit.
I'm the boss. I do anything I like. I quit and you're fired. That's all. Goodbye, lady.
Why won't you sell the statue?
Well, yes, you're in business. Why won't you sell the statue?
Look, I got other things to sell. Here, I sell you Venus de Milo with two hands.
Americana Society is only interested in historical statues.
Statues? Here, lady, I give you two General MacArthurs free.
It's Washington I want.
But I cannot sell the father of our country.
Mr. Luigi, if you don't sell something, you won't be able to pay the rent to Pasquale. And you'll have to marry Rosa.
Well, all right, I'm stuck. Either way, you break my heart. I take George Washington in the back. I wrap him up with my own hands. Well, George, I gotta sell you. What I do? If I don't sell, I don't pay the rent, I get pushed out. Well, that's all right, maybe. But then I gotta marry Rosa. If you ever see her, George, you don't blame me. Please, George, don't look at me like that. Always since I'm a little boy, I know about you. You fine man, you rich man. You have a big farm, but when the poor people say, "Hello, George, we need a general," you say, "Okay." You give a plantation, June 1775. Now, I give you up, it can't be helped. Lots of things we do in the wartime. Right now is Luigi Basco's war. Come on, George, say goodbye. It's very sad for me too, George. Shake hands, Mr. President Washington. I wrap you up warm, so you don't freeze like in the Valley Forge winter 1777. Arrivederci, Giuseppe Washington. Jimmy, put the statue in the lady's cart.
Okay, Mr. Luigi. Here's your $100.
Thank you.
And don't feel too badly, because all the proceeds from this auction go to charity. If you'd like to come, here's the address. The auction will be held in my home.
Thank you, lady. Goodbye.
Good day.
Okay, Mr. Luigi, I put the statue in the car. Gee, she must be loaded. She drove off in a beautiful Lincoln.
It's a funny country when a Washington drives away in a Lincoln.
What are you going to do with that dough?
Put him under the mattress.
Someday, someone will come in here and steal you and the mattress.
Not in a Chicago.
Take my word for it. In America, everybody puts their money in the bank.
I don't take your word, Jimmy. Anytime I got a problem, I go to see my teacher, Miss Spaulding. If I don't come back before you go to school, lock the door, put out the regular sign. Back soon, maybe longer. Please don't wait. America, I love you. You like a papa to me. Promotion. Hello, my teacher, Miss Spaulding. I brought you an apple.
Thank you, Luigi. I'll be with you as soon as I finish talking to Mary.
I wait.
Now, Mary.
Yes, Miss Spaulding?
I was very surprised this morning when you didn't know who invented the electric light.
Well, I hadn't...
I'm surprised, too, at the little bambino. Everybody ought to know who invented electric light.
You see, Mary, here's a man who's only been in this country for 6 months, and he knows. Go on, Luigi. Tell her who invented the electric light.
Marconi. Marconi, he invented everything.
No, Luigi, Edison invented the electric light.
Then Marconi invented Edison.
I see you need some more private lessons, Luigi. All right, Mary, you can run along now. But be sure you have better answers tomorrow.
All right, Miss Spaulding. Goodbye, Miss Luigi.
Goodbye, little Mary.
Tell me, Luigi, how are you and Jimmy O'Connor getting along?
He's a fine boy. Every day we have a fight. It's very pleasant.
I'm so glad he found a home and a job with you.
He's a good businessman. But he make me do wrong thing today. He make me sell a statue of George Washington. He's not patriotic, huh?
Luigi, patriotism isn't measured by statues. It's something you feel.
Good. I feel much better. But what I do with $100? Jimmy say put it in the bank.
Well, he's right. I suggest you put your money in the Case National Bank.
Why? Why a bank?
Well, because in America, you don't carry on business with cash. You'll need checks.
Marshall Fields. They put money in the bank?
Yes.
Is it good enough for me? I go tell Pasquale I give him a check for the rent.
You can see Pasquale later. Now go straight to the bank. Don't walk around with so much cash. After all, there are some dishonest people in the world.
Don't worry about me. I'm a smart man.
Yes, but look out for strangers. They'll try to sell you the Union Station for $100.
Not to me, Miss Spaulding. Second day I'm in Chicago, I buy it for $5.
For the second act of Luigi Basco's adventures in Chicago, we look over Mama Basco's shoulder as she turns to page 2 of the letter from her son, Luigi.
So, Mama Mia, 6 months in this country, and I'm partner with Marshall and Fields. But as Uncle Pietro always say, every cloud she has a silver lining. For me, there's no silver lining because I'm looking into gold teeth of our countryman, Pasquale, who's smiling at me like a cat.
Louie! Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
What's the matter with you? I'm your countryman. Why are you passing my place without coming in? Have a glass of wine.
I'm in a hurry now.
Wait a minute, Luigi, my friend.
Please, you're breaking my arm.
Somebody's been asking it for you.
If it's who I think it is, goodbye.
Come in, Luigi, just for a minute.
I'm going to the bank, get a check, pay you the rent.
Forget the business. I'm no worry about the rent. You're like a son to me. I bring you from the old country. Why?
You don't know either?
Listen to me, Luigi. I bring you here to marry Rosa. Now, come inside, stupid.
You call me, Papa!
Rosa, my little bambino. Look, Luigi's here.
Hello.
That's in a way to say hello to bachelor man, to say hello nicer.
Hello, Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
That's a nice conversation you two just have. You both are made for each other. It's a perfect combination. Okay, Rosa, go back to the kitchen, help your mama. Papa's gonna take care of your future. Oh, she's like a little angel.
When I go to heaven, I look her up.
Luigi, I got a surprise for you. Next Sunday, how you like to go with me to a wedding?
Who's getting married?
You are. Then you will be my son. What do you say?
Goodbye, Papa.
Oh, Luigi, Rose is a big, but she's a wonderful girl. She's had such a nice, a comfortable lap. You sit there, read the paper, smoke a pipe, drink a wine. What do you say?
I want a wife and not a poster chair.
Is this your last word, my son?
Yes.
Your very last word?
Yes.
You positive, absolutely sure?
Yes.
Where's my rent money? I throw you off the street.
Pasquale, I got the rent money. I go to the bank now. I give you a check.
Luigi, I don't know from a check. So you here, I'm here, the money's here. Transaction.
Pasquale, you don't understand. You're like a greenhorn.
Oh, shut up. I'm here 26 years.
Don't get excited. I explain you. See, here is $40 rent.
I take.
You impatient. Take them slow. First, I take money to bank.
You gonna pay my rent to the bank?
No. Miss Spaulding, she explained to me. I explained to you.
All right.
I take this money to bank.
You take this money to bank.
They take money from me.
They take this money from you.
They depart.
They depart.
They give me checkbook.
They give you checkbook.
I take one check.
You take one check.
I write.
You write.
Pay to order Pasquale Spaghetti Palace of $40 and no cents.
Pay to order Pasquale Spaghetti Palace of $40 and no cents.
I bring you a check.
You bring me a check.
You make a big cross on the back.
I make a big cross on the back.
Then you go to bank.
Then I go to bank.
You stand on line.
I stand on line.
You tell fella you want the money.
I tell the fella I want the money.
He give you $40.
He give me $40.
It's very simple. Everybody's happy, see?
See? It's very simple. Everybody. I'm not happy. Money's right here on the table. Now, give me.
No. I tell you this once more. I take money to bank.
You take money to the bank.
They take money from me.
They take money from you.
They depart.
They depart.
They give me a check.
We give you a check.
I take one check.
You take one check.
I write.
You write.
Pay to order Pasquale Spaghetti Palace of $40.00.
Pay to order Pasquale's Spaghetti Palace of $40.00.
I bring you a check.
You bring me a check.
You make a big cross on the back.
I make a big cross on the back.
Then you go to bank.
Then I go to bank.
You stand on line.
I stand on a line.
You tell a fella you want the money.
I tell a fella I want the money.
He give you $40.
He give me $40.
What's simpler?
Pay me my money. I don't want the same.
Wait. I explain you once more. I take money to bank.
Please, Luigi. I've been to the bank twice. I'm tired. Give me my money.
Wait. Once more, I explain. I go to the bank.
You go to the bank.
They take money from me.
They take the money from you.
They depart. They depart. Excuse me, is this Case National Bank?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Case.
Mr. Case is dead.
I wait. Is Mr. Case's son here?
He has no son.
Oh, too bad. He's got a fine building here. If he's got a daughter, I'm a single.
Look, sir, this is a bank. Did you wish to open an account here?
Si.
Fine. Is this your first bank account?
Si.
All right. We have the necessary papers right here. Just take a few minutes. Now, what did you say your name was?
I don't say.
Well, what is it?
What for do you need my name?
For our records. Now, what is your surname?
First time anybody called me sir. Thank you.
Now, if you don't mind, sir, how much would you like to start with?
I like to start with $1,000.
That's a good round sum.
But I only got 100.
Well, just give me the money and I'll open up an account for you. You want a checking account?
Yes. I have to write a check. I have to pay Pasquale the rent, or I have to marry Rosa, and then I've got to
fine,
go.
Fine. Now, here's your deposit slip and here's your checkbook. Now, if you give me the money.
Is that necessary?
Yes.
First, what do you do with this money?
Why, we invest it. Yes, that's what we do with it.
Where you invest it?
Where? Why, we... What did you say?
Where you invest?
Yes, where do we invest all this money?
I ask you first.
Perhaps you'd better talk to our vice president. Mr. Thurston, would you help me here with the problem?
Certainly, Parker.
There's a person here who wants to open an account.
Oh, Parker, I must leave in a few minutes, sir. Can't you take care of it?
Sir, he wants to know what we do with our money.
What? Well, that's a ridiculous question.
I agree with you, sir, but what do we do with our money?
Why, we invest it.
But where?
Where?
Yes. Where?
Go back to your cage, Parker. I'll handle this myself. How do you do, sir? My name is Mr. Thurston. I'm vice president of this bank. Ordinarily, I don't handle matters such as this, but I've always had a slogan. The small depositor of today is the big depositor of tomorrow.
Then I come back tomorrow.
No, I don't mean it that way. Now, sir, you want to know what we do with our money.
See, it's important. Is first $100 I ever had.
Yes, I understand your feelings. This is what we do with your $100. We buy railroads, telephone companies, light and power, public utilities, streetcars, real estate, and government bonds. Satisfying?
Seems like a lot for $100.
Well, let me try another approach. What business are you in?
Antique business.
All right. Now, a lot of times you can sell an antique for a high price and buy back the same antique at an auction at a cheaper price. That means your money is working for you. Now, if you give your money to us...
That's good for you, but bad for me. I'm not going to put the money in the bank. I got other ideas of what to do.
Now, just a minute, sir. How dare you question my business sense? For your information, I have been with the Case National Bank for 10 years. Before that, I was with the Third National Bank for 5 years. Before that, I was with the Second National Bank for 3 years. Before that, I was with the First National Bank for 2 years. That is my professional record. What do you say to that?
Is it too bad you couldn't hold a job?
Gentlemen, the next item for auction is this statue of George Washington, which came...
From Luigi Basco's window, 21 North Halstead Street, open night and day.
Oh, hello, Mr. Basco. We're just auctioning off your George Washington.
Good, as many reasons I come.
Yes, well, now, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the bidding. Who say $300?
Holy smokes, did this lady only pay $100?
Now, who say $200? Oh, come, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, this is George Washington. He's been elected. He's not campaigning. Now, who starts the ball rolling?
$25.
$25 is insult.
Well, I think Mr. Basco's right. Can't I hear $50 for the father of our country?
You bet your life, lady. I, Luigi Basco, bid $50.
All right, I have $50. Who'll bid more?
I, Luigi Basco, bid $75.
I have a $75 bid. Who'll say $100?
I, Luigi Basco, say $100.
Mr. Basco, you're bidding against yourself.
I know, that's the idea. You want the more money, I bid the more money.
But, Mr. Basco, your original bid of $50 is enough for this statue of George Washington.
Is not enough for father of our country. Even $100 is not enough. I bid everything I got. $102.87.
Mr. Basco, you're a real American.
Not yet. You see, I only come here September 1947, so I don't get the first papers until
fine.
I go down to see the Boston.
Yes, I understand. Mr. Basco, thank you for your bid, but it's a great personal sacrifice.
So what? So Pasquale threw me out in the street. It's all right with me. So I stay out in the street with the George Washington. He's worth it. He's a great man. Brave man. Brave like a Garibaldi. He's a braver, maybe. He beat the whole of British army. So people make him first the president. Twice. 1789 and 1793. Maybe you don't know how great the man he is. Because you're born here and you're used to him like a children to papa. Maybe it's why you don't know how much it's worth to have a George Washington in your house. But to me, I know. When I have him in my store, every morning I say, "Good morning, Mr. President." And every night I say, "Sleep good, Mr. President. Fine country, America." That's why I, Luigi Basco, bid $102.87.
Thank you, Mr. Basco. The bid is $102.87. Going once, going twice.
$1,000.
$1,000 bid by Mr. Thurston of the Case National Bank.
$1,000.
Are there any other bids?
Mrs. Wells, I got no money now. I work harder next year. Maybe you take the little money I got. I give you the rest on an installment plan.
Well, I'm sorry. We must have cash. $1,001. Twice, three times. So to Mr. Thurston.
Mamma mia, my statue.
Where do you want the statue delivered, Mr. Thurston?
21 North Halstead Street.
Mr. Thurston, that's my address.
Exactly. That's where George Washington belongs, with you.
Gracias, Mr. Thurston. I pay you back. Here's the down payment. My $100.
I'll take this money and open an account for you at the bank, but the statue is yours. It's a gift.
It's impossible.
In America, Mr. Basco, everything is possible.
sure to listen next week at this time for Life with Luigi, a Cy Howard production. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And now comes news of a club that servicemen in World War II definitely did not want to join.
And now, Vincent, what's next on the command performance agenda?
Well, hi, you know, a lot of very fine programs originate at AFRS stations all over the globe, as well as in Hollywood.
Well, I did one in Japan myself, you know. I was a disc jockey and called myself Tokyo Mose.
Yeah, I know. But tonight, Command Performance wants to tell the world about another great program.
All right.
This one was originated by Virgil Brennan at station WXLH on Okinawa.
Oh, yes. It's called the Dear John Club of the Air.
And if Virgil Brennan doesn't mind, we'd like to let the whole gang in on a capsule version of his show. It starts with sentimental poetry.
Love is like an onion. You taste it with delight. And when it's gone, you wonder, whatever made you bite?
Good evening, lovers. Welcome to the Dear John Club of the Air. Another soiree dedicated to the reading of those tear-stained letters mailed to the guys who left their faithful sweethearts sobbing at the picket fence and then got the gate by airmail. As the poet said,
I promise you a faithful heart until our romance ends. And even though we're far apart, we're still the best of friends. She took my hand with loving care. She took my costly flowers rare. She took about all that I could buy, and then she took the other guy. Boy, did she.
Yay, verily, brothers. Welcome to our little theater of two timed squares. Miss June Foray is about to render a letter written to a dear John by a girl back in Schenectady. The footlights dim, and she speaks her heart.
Dear John, received another letter from you today, my darling. I should have answered it long ago, but there's something that's awfully hard to tell you. Oh, John, we were gay when we parted. You said, I'm sure your heart will always be true. And I said, my heart will be true. But if you're gone too long, the rest of me may stray a little. Oh, believe me, John, when I say you're the only one I will ever truly, truly love. But you'd better not make your letters quite so passionate. If I left them unopened, Bob would understand. But I can't say the same for Bertram, Harry, Peter, Sam, Manny, Mo, or Jack. Especially Jack. He's my husband. Yours truly, Gwendolyn. Oh, P.S. I am returning the Japanese yen you sent me. Also the hand-carved coconut husk. But I am keeping the money for sentimental reasons.
And that, friends, is the idea of Virgil Brennan's Okinawa program.
Only he does it with lots of music and genuine letters.
Hey, speaking of music and letters, hi, we have lots of orders for a visit from a fellow who used to work for AFRS when he wore a cocky suit. Always ready and willing to visit the hall, it's that musical sensation, the young man with the harp, Robert Maxwell.
Sundays, we'll follow the work of the crusading journalists of Big Town. Today it's the story of Charity Killers from February
22nd, 1949. Extra, extra, extra! Here's the Big Town story of the Charity Killers! Extra, extra, extra!
Miranda?
Yes, Bertha?
Lock him up in the storage room with Larson's body and let's get out of here.
And leave Mr. Wilson alive to identify us in Larson's murder?
They'll have to catch us first.
You're wasting time, Bertha. My press photographer has orders to notify the police. You better get going.
I'll say I'm going.
Oh, no, you're not. Tape up Wilson and splatter the place with kerosene.
Yes, listen to this dramatic big town story of two strange women racketeers brought to you by Lever Brothers Company, makers of Life Boy Health Soap. A story of fighting editor Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press, whose newspaper creed stands for freedom and justice against the forces of intolerance and evil.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword, that it may be a faithful servant of all the people. Use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now, Big Town, and tonight's racket expose headlined, The Charity Killers. Each year, the great heart of America gives billions to alleviate the suffering of humanity. But into this golden river of generosity, racketeers dip greedy hands. And such is the background of Steve Wilson's story, which began in the parlor of a pretentious old brownstone mansion in a fashionable section of Big Town.
Bertha? Bertha! Hurry with the tea. Mr. Larson is due any moment.
Stop squawking. Save the society act for that crook.
I have to get into my lines, into my charity act, don't I?
Yeah, but don't overdo it. Make the pitch for a fat contribution and then we'll take them, like a couple of Dannemora doves.
Bertha, I do wish you'd drop your prison slang. You've been out long enough this time.
And I'm not going back in. I'm getting too old for the Penn laundries. What's keeping that shop?
He'll be here. I promised him a large contribution to his sweet charity.
The dirty crook.
Save the professional jealousy and pour me a cup of tea.
Ah, pour it yourself.
Very well. Where's the gin?
In the extra cream pitcher, where it always is when you put on this phony Whistler's mother act.
Have you fixed the sugar?
Sure. The top lumps are soaked in enough stuff to knock Larson out for a week.
Good. There he is. Go let him in while I get out my knitting.
All right, but don't drop that gun out of your knitting bag like you did in Denver.
Oh, I won't. Oh, dear, I'm afraid I'm going to have to get rid of Bertha like I did my second husband. Now, let's see. Knit one, purl one. No, knit two, purl one.
Just a moment, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Mr. Larson, calling on Mrs. Miranda Adams.
Oh, yes, Mr. Larson. Madam Adams is expecting you. This way, please.
Who is it, Bertha, dear?
Mr. Larson, ma'am.
Oh, yes. How do you do?
Good afternoon. Charmed to meet you, Mrs. Adams.
I hope the pleasure will be all mine. You may go, Bertha.
I'll go tend the furnace, ma'am.
I'll call you if I need you.
Very well, ma'am.
Are you two ladies alone in this big house?
Yes, quite alone. It's so difficult to get help these days, you know.
Yes. And now, about your contribution to the General Community Fund.
Oh, yes. Please sit down. Have a cup of tea.
Tea? Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Thank you.
I hope you brought your list of prominent contributors.
Oh, yes. I have them all right here. But this list is quite confidential. Most of our large contributors wish to remain anonymous. Don't want to get on the sucker list. The list of unscrupulous fund collectors.
I understand. And I assure you the list will not leave my hands.
Oh, but I can't leave the list.
Very well. I'll have Bertha make a copy.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You wouldn't care to have me give out your name and the amount of your contribution, would you, Mrs. Adams?
Decidedly not.
No, of course. Now, how large a donation did you have in mind?
With 1,000...
1,000?
Oh, dear, your tea is getting cold. How many lumps of sugar?
Oh, no sugar, thank you. I'm putting on weight. I never touch the stuff. Well, 1,000 would be fine. Great help to the many worthy causes.
Oh, I'm sure it would. And a little sugar won't hurt you. It's energy building.
Yes, I know, but no thanks. I'll just take it as is while you make out your check.
No, let me... Dear, I'm sorry. So clumsy of me. Bertha...
Oh, it doesn't matter. Don't bother.
Yes, ma'am. What's the trouble?
Mr. Larson won't take sugar in his tea.
Oh, he won't he?
What's the idea?
Sit down, Mr. Larson.
Hey, what's the idea of that gun, Mrs. Adams? No, put it away. I didn't come here to rob you.
Yes, you did, you dirty crook. Huh?
Bertha, don't slight our profession.
This dope is a disgrace to any profession.
Hey, you two are con cookies. This is a plant. A scheme to get half a hold of my sucker list.
Exactly, Mr. Larson. Take that list, Bertha.
No, wait a minute. Listen, let's make a deal. We can work this charity racket together. Why, we'd make a great team. Milk this town dry.
That's what we're going to do. Without you.
Oh, dear. You dented the teapot, Bertha.
Never mind the teapot. I think I've dented his head. What are we going to do with him?
Drag him down in the cellar. Lock him up in the storage closet. We don't want him disturbing the neighbors while we work on his sucker list.
Wait a minute, Miranda. Maybe he ain't gonna disturb nobody.
Why not?
I think I cracked his skull. I think he's dead.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. My first husband went that way.
Hi, Steve. Why the general alarm for your wondrous girl reporter?
Oh, come in, Lorelei, and close the door on those infernal teletypes.
Now what have I not done what should have been done, as Harry the Hack would be wont to say if he weren't down with a grip.
How would you like to impersonate the confidential secretary of a wealthy philanthropist?
Anything for a story. Who is the philanthropic gent?
Well, I'm going to impersonate him.
What are we going to play, charades?
Yes. I've had a tip, Lorelei. A couple of larcenous ladies have set up a fake charity racket in Big Town, and I want to get the goods on them before they make a mockery of one of man's finest impulses.
I'm all for that, but how?
Well, your suitcase is all packed and ready right there on the table.
Uh-uh, the battery recorder. Where are my weekending?
You're just going to call on the ladies.
Well, how do I explain the disguised talk box?
You're on your way out of town and just stopped in to tell the ladies I'm calling to make a fat contribution.
Oh, why don't I just phone?
I'm very eccentric. I have to be humored.
Okay. Where'd you get this tip?
From my friend, Showboat.
Showboat? Shades of Shakespeare. How did he spot these female charity racketeers?
Saw them on the street. They're lively ghosts out of his own colorful past, Lorna.
Good heavens. Not out of trooping days aboard his Mississippi paddle wheel namesake.
Yes, one of the ladies. The other is a more modern version of feminine larceny.
Charming combination. Where?
That should be Showboat at the hall door. Let him in with
him. Or he'll knock the door off the hinges.
Hail and hello, Brother Wilson.
Hello, Showboat, come in.
Thank you. And the Lorelei, lovely lady of the linotype.
Hello, Showboat. I hear we're going on a charity racket safari.
Ah, yes. 'Tis been my good fortune to espy amongst humanity's flock two elderly female wolves in sheep clothing, preparing to pounce upon the innocent lambs in the name of sweet charity.
Yes. I've given Lorelei the setup and the fact, Showboat. She's ready to go.
Aye, but stay a moment, Miss Kilmer. Though these barges be cloaked with lavender and lace, and though they dwell in marble halls, they are as the scorpion whose sting is verily the kiss of death.
Thanks for the warning, Showboat. I'll be careful of them. Where is this marble hall?
A gloomy relic of the 90s, leased as a lair for the unsuspecting. A stage upon which these demon damsels weave their wanton web upon sweet charity's warp of woe.
A perfect setup. What's the address, Showboat?
Park is the street, and the number is 9.
Number 9 Park. What names are they using, Showboat?
My thespian contemporary. The Ophelia to my Hamlet. Lady Macbeth to my immortal Thane. The little Eva to my Uncle Tom. Once went by the name of Memphis Mary. Shot one gambler husband and drowned another in the muddy waters of the Mississippi. Now, silver-haired and mild of mien, she plays her trade in the guise of Madame Miranda Adams.
Golly, Miranda Adams. Who's her present partner?
Judicious inquiry reveals only the name of Bertha, a muscle-bound matronly alumni of many of our better houses of correction.
Well, that'll be enough to work on, Showboat. How much time are you giving me to get their crooked charity pitch on the tape recorder, Steve?
10 minutes should be enough, Lorelei. Take Dusty and his camera, but have him wait outside until we arrive.
Well, good heavens, Steve. Madam Adams will surely recognize Showboat.
Exactly, Lorelei. And a recording of her reaction should be evidence enough to smash the racket and send the ladies to jail.
Thus, unaware that a vicious, fake charity racket has become a matter of murder, Steve unknowingly sends Lorelei into a deadly situation. And for the exciting developments, we'll return to Big Town in just a moment. Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
And the cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. So remember, Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors found that Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes it more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that brings on B.O.
Lifebuoy's milder, too. Safe for babies' tender skin.
And you'll like the way Lifebuoy, made with costly coconut oil, bursts into quick, flashing white lather, even in hard water.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner. Keeps you fresh and attractive. Protects you as no other leading soap can. Bathe with Lifebuoy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Lifebuoy right away. Now back to Big Town and tonight's spine-chilling expose of a vicious racket captioned The Charity Killers. Following up a tip on two elderly women working a charity racket, Lorelei Kilburn arrives at their rented mansion, unaware that a murder has been committed.
Bertha, for heaven's sake, what a time to be out of kerosene.
How was I to know that crooked dope would be so stubborn and have a paper skull and we'd have to get rid of the body?
Are you quite sure he's dead?
Dead as a doornail.
Are you sure he'll fit into the furnace?
Yeah, I measured the door.
Then go down to the store and get a can of kerosene.
All right. This gallon can should do.
Oh, dear, I do hope he doesn't overheat the house.
Miranda, somebody's ringing the front doorbell.
My stars, whom could it be?
Maybe one of Larson's charity racket pals come to find out what happened to him. What'll we do?
I'll go see. And if it is, simply say he never arrived.
What if they've been watching the house and no different?
Then I'll invite them in with this gun.
All right, go ahead. I'll wait down here in the cellar with Larson's body.
No need to do that. He won't go away. Go get the kerosene and hurry back.
Okay. I'll go out the cellar exit. Don't make any mistake.
I won't. Maybe you better get another gallon of kerosene, just in case.
All right. Get upstairs and answer that bell.
Do come into my parlor, my dear Miss Kilburn.
Thank you, Mrs. Adams. Mind if I put my weekend bag right here?
Not at all, my dear. And it's so kind of you to delay your vacation trip to prepare me for the arrival of your wonderfully philanthropic Mr. Wilson.
Yes, you may think it's strange sending me ahead to get the facts about your charities, but my employer is quite eccentric.
I understand. And of course you want to know how the money is being spent, how many worthy causes are being helped, and the other prominent contributors in Big Town.
Yes, that would interest and impress Mr. Wilson.
Of course. Here is a partial list of our contributors and sponsors.
My, that's quite an impressive list.
What's the matter, Miss Kilburn?
Nothing.
Well, but it must be. You're white as a ghost.
Oh, it's really nothing. I suddenly felt a little faint. It's rather warm in here.
Nonsense. The thermostat is set to 68 degrees.
Then it must be something I ate. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I'd better go.
No, my dear. It's something else. Something that has startled and upset you. Something you saw on the carpet.
Yes, Mrs. Adams. What happened here?
Whatever do you mean, my dear?
Who was hurt? Left that fresh stain on your carpet.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
Oh, that isn't what you think. I had a most frightfully clumsy housekeeper. She spilled some catsup.
Catsup? For tea?
Yes, I just sent her out to get some cleaning fluid when you called. That's why I answered the door myself.
I see. And you're alone in the house?
Yes. And what do you see, Miss Kilburn? Just who are you and why are you here?
Well, I came to ask you a few questions about your charity fundraising activities, but...
But now you are no longer interested in sweet charity. Why not, my dear?
I have a feeling something much more important has happened here.
And I have a feeling you're not what you pretend to be. Give me your handbag, Miss Kilburn.
Uh-oh. That's a rather large gun for such a charitable little lady, Mrs. Adams.
Don't get up. Just give me your handbag.
Oh,
save you the trouble of looking. I'm a newspaper reporter.
A reporter? Oh, dear.
Yes, I'm investigating a tip on your charity racket.
All alone? In the hope of getting a scoop for your newspaper, no doubt?
Not quite. Now, you better put away that gun, or you'll be facing something much more serious than grand larceny, Mrs. Adams. If you aren't already.
My stars, you are curious, aren't you, Miss Kilburn?
It's a reporter's stock in trade.
Yes, too bad.
How so?
Oh, dear me, I'm dreadfully afraid I'm going to have to take you down in the cellar and satisfy your feminine curiosity once and for all.
Is this the place, Shobald?
Aye, Mr. Wilson. Yon musty mausoleum is the lair of these lady leeches. Not that I myself am a model of civic virtue, nor above a little modest chicanery in pursuit of the almighty dollar.
Well, your tips have been very valuable, Shobald. Let's go in and see how this one pans out.
Hey, Steve, Shobald, just a minute.
Yes, what is it, Dusty?
Well, I don't know exactly, but something is from Denmark around here.
Well, is Laura Lyons on?
Yep. Little old lady let her in about 10 minutes ago.
What's worrying you, Dusty?
Well, just about the time the little old lady let Miss Kilburn in the front entrance, a buxom battle axe slid out the cellar exit. And she was carrying an empty can that she might fill with kerosene. She ought to be back any time now.
Well, in that case, I think we'd better change our plan of action, Showboat.
How so, Mr. Wilson?
You better wait here with Dusty, out of sight. I'll go in first, play my part, and then call you in for the showdown.
As you wish, Mr. Wilson. A climactic third act entrance is meat enough to test my thespian talents. Go set the stage. Prepare the downfall of these demons of deception.
I'll do my best. Meanwhile, keep out of sight in Dusty's car until I call you, Showboat.
Very well. I go to the wings to await my cue.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I wish to see the lady of the house, Madam Adams.
I am Madam Adams, sir.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mrs. Adams.
Not at all. Ordinarily, I do not answer the door myself, but my housekeeper has gone to the store for some supplies.
I quite understand.
And what can I do for you, sir?
Well, I'm Stephen Wilson. Hasn't my confidential secretary arrived to acquaint you with the fact that I wish to make a sizable donation to the many worthwhile charities I understand you're sponsoring?
Why, no, Mr. Wilson. No one has called all afternoon.
No one called on you?
No, no one. Perhaps she was delayed and will arrive later. But no matter, for I think these things are much better discussed between the principals. Don't you think?
Yes, in this case, I think I do.
Then please come in, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you very much.
Forgive me for locking the door, Mr. Wilson. I have many valuables, and I understand the police are most lax in this neighborhood. And there are sneak thieves and footpads about.
So I hear.
Makes one nervous. But do come into my parlor. I was about to have tea. Won't you join me?
It will be a pleasure, Madam Adams.
Sit down, Mr. Wilson. You may find it a bit chilly, but my housekeeper will be back in a moment, and we'll have a lovely fire.
That will be nice.
You've no idea how cozy a nice fire will make this gloomy old place.
I can imagine.
Please sit down, Mr. Wilson. You seem restless, preoccupied. Have a cup of tea.
No, thank you. Let's get something else settled first.
Oh, your charitable contribution.
No, where is Miss Kilburn?
Miss Kilburn?
Yes, my so-called confidential secretary.
But I told you she hasn't arrived.
And you lied. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known my confidential secretary was a woman.
Oh, dear, that was a slip of the tongue, wasn't it, Mr. Wilson?
And not the only mistake you made. That weekend bag standing there with the cards belongs to Miss Kilburn.
Oh, dear, I'm getting careless in my old age.
All right, Mrs. Adams. Let's stop playing games. You apparently know who I am, and I know who you are, and what you're doing in Big Town.
Very well, Mr. Wilson of the press. Like all newspaper persons, you're insatiably curious. And I'm frightfully afraid I'm going to have to gratify your wish to see Miss Kilburn.
Quit stalling. Where is she? What have you done to her?
merely satisfied her curiosity about a regrettable stain on our landlord's lovely rug there.
Stain, good grief.
Yes. Unfortunately, we had a gentleman caller just before Miss Kilburn arrived.
What happened?
He refused to allow us to muscle in on his charity racket, and Bertha, my impulsive housekeeper, was compelled to knock him cold and overdid it slightly.
Killed him?
Oh, yes, he's quite dead.
Where is Miss Kilburn?
Keeping company with Mr. Larson's body.
Are you fiendish, Holmes?
Just a moment, Mr. Wilson. Sticks and stones will break your bones, and this gun will kill you quite as dead as Mr. Larson.
Yes, that's a rather large gun for such a sweet, gentle little old lady.
Yes, so your Miss Kilburn said in those very words.
What have you done to her?
Just taped her up until Bertha gets back.
Where is she?
Down in the cellar. Go on, Mr. Wilson. Walk out into the hall and down the stairs. It's quite chilly up here. It'll be much warmer down with the furnace.
Thus, in a swift turning of the table, Steve and Lorelei are caught in a strange and deadly situation. And for the exciting payoff, we'll return in a moment. Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy gets skin cleaner.
Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Doctors have proved it.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors compared results. They found that Life Boy, with its quick, rich, purifying lather, cleanses and protects better than any other leading soap. And Life Boy is milder, too.
So bathe with mild, refreshing Life Boy every day. Remember, Life Boy gets skin cleaner, stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Buy Life Boy right away. Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson and Lorelei, trapped in the basement of an old mansion in the deadly cover-up of the Charity Killers.
Keep away from Miss Kilburn, Mr. Wilson. I know how to use this gun.
So I understand from an old associate of your Mississippi showboat days.
My stars, that was 40 years ago. Who could it be?
An actor. And like your first husband, a gambler on the river. Showboat.
Showboat. That scene stealer. I would have thought some woman shot him years ago.
Unfortunately for you, he's right here in Big Town. It tipped me off to your fake charity racket.
What are you listening for? Expecting, Mr. Wilson?
The return of your stupid companion who involved you in murder?
I've been involved in murder before.
But of your own volition. Not because of the blundering of a stupid associate.
Oh, yes, quite so. Bertha is rather stupid.
Who's stupid, you cackling old crow?
Crow, am I?
Yes. And who's this man and that girl laying over there, taped up like a mummy?
Newspaper persons.
What are they doing here?
Investigating your charity racket.
Oh, Miranda, you old fool. Why did you bring them down here and let them see Larson's body?
There was no help for it. And stop calling me a fool. I am old, but you're the fool. Put on that kerosene and tape up Mr. Wilson.
Stop giving orders. There isn't time. We gotta get out of here.
Nonsense. We've spent months lining up suckers. Checks are pouring in every day, and with Larson's list, we can make a real killing.
Don't be a complete dope. Those two didn't come along. There's a car out front. And the driver and somebody in it are watching this house like hawks.
Why didn't you say so right away?
You didn't give me a chance, but I'm telling you now. Let's lock him up in the storage room with Larson's body and get out of here.
And leave him alive to identify and testify against us in Larson's murder?
They'll have to catch us first.
You're wasting time, Bertha. Those men out there in the car have orders to notify the police, and you'd better get going.
I'll say I'm going.
Oh, no, you're not, Bertha. Tape up Wilson and splatter the place with kerosene.
I'm not wasting any more...
That'll be all out of that gun, Madam Adams. Now, hold still. I hate to manhandle a woman, even a murderess. Now, hold still. Stop struggling.
Oh, dear, very well. Unhand me, sir.
As soon as I make sure you haven't another gun in this knitting bag.
Hey, Steve, what cooks? What goes on here? What gives?
Just Dusty, just get the tape on Miss Kilburn. And then shoot a few pictures for the front page.
Right. Okay, now hold everything, Lorelei. I'll have you undone in a jiffy.
Oh, suit!
what transpires in this dungeon of dark deeds.
Well, if it isn't Showboat, the greatest voice in Saldini.
Ah, the Memphis Belle, Milady of the Hemlock, the Dagger, and the One-Night Stand.
Shut up, you windy old walrus.
Ah, time hath touched thy hair with silver, but tip thy tongue with acid, Miranda.
Oh, be quiet, Showboat. You haven't changed a bit.
Yes, hold the reminiscences, Showboat. Are you all right, Lorelei?
Oh, a little bruised and mortified, but otherwise okay, Steve.
Good. Go upstairs and call Fletch on City Desk. Give him the story. And call Callahan of Homicide.
Now, before bringing you the final payoff in tonight's story and the headline news about next week's Big Town Adventure, here are Steve Wilson and Lorelei.
Friends, hurry, hurry. Lever's sensational $50,000 travel contest closes this week. Wouldn't you like to explore Paris and London, see Cairo, visit Honolulu and other famous foreign cities? Well, this contest is your chance to win the vacation of a lifetime.
Just imagine, friends, you can win a round-the-world trip for two with all travel expenses paid. Or choose $10,000 in cash.
Yes, and there are second prizes, too. 15 of them, with an all-expense trip to Europe for each winner, or $2,500 in cash, plus 400 other prizes of $10 each. Just finish this statement in 25 words or less. I like Bath-size Lifebuoy because... Send each entry with a box front from Bath Size Life Boy to Lever Tour the World Contest, Box 1, New York 8, New York. That's Box 1, New York 8, New York. But hurry, entries must be postmarked no later than this Saturday. Only residents of continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii are eligible. Get a free entry blank with complete rules at your store right away. In tonight's Big Town expose of the fake charity racketeers, the murderess Miranda was tried, convicted, and imprisoned for the rest of her unnatural life. And next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story entitled The Fatal Joke, the strange story of a gangster's revenge after death. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional. Big Town features Edward Pauly as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilburn, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. This is Brotherhood Week. At a time when it is vitally important that all Americans stand united, let us recall the American principles of tolerance and understanding toward one another, and let us practice those principles throughout the year. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling...
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and a fateful joke. Brought to you by the makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap. Extra, extra.
Lever Brothers Company have amazing news. New 1950 Rinso with Solium. It's here a year ahead of time. New 1950 Rinso has three times the whiter washing action of any other soap. The sensational new washing action of 1950 Rinso gets white clothes whiter than new, washable colors brighter than new, and keeps them whiter, brighter than any other soap. Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Get new 1950 Rinso at your dealers now.
Be sure and be with us again next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Dwight Weist, bidding you good night.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.